You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here, back at beautiful Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center here in Henderson, Nevada. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And it is almost time, almost, as this comes out. By the time it comes out, I'm trying to do my math. Let's call it roughly a week, because this will probably come out Thursday Eve. So roughly a week until the start of the 2021 NFL Draft in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh boy. There was part of me that felt like we would never get to this day. The season ends, and you kind of live in this desert for a while, especially when the playoffs are going on, and you're like, what are we doing here? It's, you know, this is mid-January, this is late January. I just need something. And then the season ends, and you kind of peek out a little bit, and you're like, oh, the combine's coming, but obviously a different type of combine this year, a virtual combine. And it's just felt like such a long road to get to where we are today, which is a week out from the NFL draft. And because of that, we're bringing in the big guns. We're bringing in the man himself, General Manager Mike Mayock, in just a few minutes to break down everything pre-draft. And I was joking with Mike before we started rolling. I was like, you know, it's funny to me anyways, where that the NFL mandates that all the general managers across the league do a pre-draft press conference. Because what do you hope to gain from that press conference is my question. You're not going to, if you're Mike Mayock, I'm not going to be like, hey, Mike, what are we doing at 17? What's the play, brother? He's not going to tell me. He's going to laugh me off the air. Mike and I have a good rapport, so I'm sure he would do it in a respectful manner. But regardless, he would probably be like, come on, dog. But it just goes to show the point that the NFL is a media conglomerate. They want the stories. They need the stories. And for us, I don't hate it because we get extra tens. You know we need the content. It's what feeds my family, is this content. And Mike, per usual, very, very generous with his time. If you want to check out Mike's full press conference with the local media, head on over to Raiders.com. And Mike goes very, very in-depth about a lot of things, about over the course of about 20 minutes, I would say. So go check that out when you're done listening to this podcast. But I always try to tell, I like to preface this, because a lot of these things, Mike does a lot of media on these days, right? People ask him a lot of questions. He's got a lot of things to cover. And so what I try to do is ask him questions that he hasn't been asked already, because that's not a win for anybody. Mike doesn't want to answer the same question twice. I don't want to hear the same answer twice. You guys don't want to hear the same answer twice. You guys want to get answers to the questions that you have. And so what I try to do is I try to ask him things that he hasn't been asked. I try to put myself in your position of the fan. I try to put my fan hat on for a minute, and I say, what if I was a Raider fan? Living in Henderson, Oakland, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, wherever it is, what do I want to know? Obviously within reason, because I think the thing we all want to know is what's going to happen next Thursday night at number 17 overall. That's what we want to know. But within reason, what do we want to know? How can we get better educated between now and next week? And I tell this all the time. I tell you guys all the time. I'm very honest about who I am, what I am, and how I'm going to react and respond to you guys. I'm never going to lie to you and say I'm this X's and O's master. Oh, I'm a scheme wizard, anything like that. No. But what I will do is I will try to better educate myself. I will try to better educate you guys in kind of that world. And sometimes there's no one better to ask than the general manager of the team. In this case, our man, Mike Mayock. So before we dive in, that was my kind of just my preamble of what to get ready for. Mike was very generous with his time. He's got a lot going on. This is, as you can imagine, probably one of the most stressful, if not the most stressful, week on the calendar for Mike Mayock. So we thank him so sincerely for his time. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, enjoy our conversation with the GM of the Las Vegas Raiders, Mike Mayock. Before we start talking about the draft and all that's going to happen next week, let's just go back a little bit to free agency. And we look at the defensive line for this team. A lot of additions, Yannicka Ngakoue, Solomon Thomas, you bring back Jonathan Hankins. When you look at that group as a whole, how do you feel that they stack up? Do you feel that you're better now than you were at the end of the regular season?
We've added some intriguing pieces to the defensive line. And Ngakoue is a guy that has been – a legitimate Pro Bowl, All-Pro guy throughout his career, and he's still only 25, 26 years old. So we think he's a legitimate piece and provides a perfect complement to our two big ends, Max and Clee Ferrell. So that was a necessary piece. Then you got to look inside. We're really excited to get Hankins back. I think he's one of the better run defenders in the league at that position. But what we needed to add was some guys could get up the field and get towards the quarterback. And we think we did. Solomon Thomas, when healthy, is quick. He's a disruptive force. Feel the same way about Quentin Jefferson, who I like coming out of Maryland. You know, we've got Darius Filon, who's played in the NFL and has been very, very productive. David Irving, you know, who's, again, played in the NFL, been very, very productive. So for different reasons, these four guys have a ton of ability, and whether it's injuries, off-the-field issues, whatever, their careers have been derailed. However, they're all young, and they're all talented, and we need a couple of them to come through, and that's what we're betting on.
And going back to Unique for a second, when you talked to the media earlier, you said that he brings kind of a different element to this defensive line. What is it about him that really makes him so effective at being kind of that disruptive defensive lineman?
Yeah, we already had a couple of the big, strong guys like Max and Clee. What we needed was a twitchy, quick guy that makes tackles nervous about outside speed. And that's what he is. He fits perfectly into what Gus Bradley calls the Leo in our system on defense. So now we've got a couple of bigger, physical, tough guys, one of whom Clee can bounce inside. And you measure that or complement that with Ngakoue, and you go, okay, teams have a lot more to worry about on paper today than they did a year ago. Now, we're not done there, and we got to get better there, but we do feel better about it than we did a year ago.
Now, switching to the other side of the ball, the offensive line, another group that's, you know, gone over through a bit of a facelift over the past couple months. But now that the dust has settled, it doesn't feel like there's really all that many new faces there. Maybe guys that are playing more elevated into a different role in 2021, but not a lot of new faces per se. So what did you see out of that group a year ago to really make you confident as a staff that this was a group that you could go forward with?
We're excited. On the one hand, a lot of people, I've had a lot of questions over the last several weeks, like, why would you let your center go? Rodney Hudson's one of the best centers in the league. What about Gabe Jackson? He's been in the league 8 years. He's a really good football player. Trent Brown's been a Pro Bowl. Well, we got a third-round pick and 2 fifth-round picks. We divested $34 million in salary. We got younger and more athletic. You can't make some of those moves unless you believe in the guys in the building. So to start with, Andre James. You know, he's played basically one or two games since he's been here, an undrafted tackle out of UCLA. And he played so well when Rodney was hurt against Chicago a couple of years ago and has done so well in practice, buying into our program, that we gave him a new contract this offseason. So along with his college teammate, Colton Miller, who got the big compensation. So we're looking at the group and we're going, wait a minute. Our left tackle now signed up with us for several years. He's very young. Our center is a young guy. We signed Nick Martin behind him. Feel good about a veteran presence. Those two will compete. John Simpson, fourth-round pick last year. He's got a chance to be a starting guard soon. We still have Denzel. We still have Richie Incognito. So we feel like there's a pretty good balance in there where there shouldn't be any kind of step backwards. And I think Tom Cable's energized. I'm energized because I think we've got a room right now that can't wait to play football. We got a group of young guys that are growing together, working out together. They love football. May we take a little bit of a hit early? Probably, maybe. But we're fired up about these guys.
Yeah, I feel your energy. You know, when you talked to the media earlier, I think that was pretty evident that you were excited about this group going into 2021. And we kind of finish up on that group. We look at the right tackle situation. I think that if you're a casual fan of the team, you kind of raise your, like, what are we going to do there? And when I was going back and listening to you earlier, I wrote down a name. I wrote down the name Jared Jones-Smith, and it kind of surprised me. And I was going to ask you, what about him do you like as a player? He was a guy that you brought up earlier this afternoon. I'm kind of just curious what you as a staff really appreciate that he brings to the table.
Well, look, we've got Brandon Parker to start with, who's played football in this league now for the Raiders for 3 years. Brandon Parker's still a young man with swing capabilities. He's started games on the right side. Then we've got this guy named Jared Jones-Smith, who nobody really knows much about. undrafted out of the University of Pittsburgh a couple years ago, still a young man, and we got him off the street last year. He was on a couple of practice squads, and the more he brought into our nutrition and weight department, probably for the first time in his career, all in, he's a different looking dude. And he got better every day last year in practice. So he was a guy that we had an opportunity to watch compete most of the season. He's continued it in the off season, and I'm excited to watch him play. He's a right tackle, potentially guy we can kick inside at guard. So I know everybody's upset about the right tackle position, but I kind of go, we got Brandon Parker, we got Jared Jones-Smith, and let's roll. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, the cupboard is certainly not bare. And so, you know, we look ahead to next Thursday when all the fun starts, right? And that's kind of what we do this for these exciting 3 days. And I know that it's a whole year process for you and your staff. But when you were talking earlier, you brought up, you know, this year has been not short on challenges for anyone. And you talked about the medical records and how those have kind of been a challenge for you, for the league really, collectively, to kind of get to where you guys need to be. For an average fan, for a casual fan, can you just explain why getting those records are so important and kind of putting together a complete picture of a guy leading into next week?
People don't understand that the reason the combine started all those years ago, 30, 40 years ago, was it so that the league could get all the players together and share medical information. That was how it started. Okay, it wasn't about the 40 on television. It was about sharing medical information amongst all the teams in the league. So that's the most important thing still to this day. So this year we didn't have a combine. So typically 330 plus or minus players would go to the combine, and we'd have verifiable medical within a week or two of them being at the combine. And when I say verifiable, I mean all the x-rays have been done. Doctors get their hands on players. The guy has a shoulder, and the shoulder, they get their hands on. They find out what kind of surgery. Is he solid? Is he not solid? And we get comprehensive reports up to that minute on where that kid is in his rehab. And we're able to grade all 330 players. This year, the combine didn't happen. And they invited about 150 players to Indy a little over a week ago. And so the medical that came out of there is just starting to trickle in the last several days, and it's less than half as many people as we get normally. The rest of the 180 guys, and there's even more beyond the 180, we're getting what's called soft grades. So no doctor's hands are on. Hit and miss on the x-rays and the imaging. Some guys we get, some guys we don't. Some guys will probably come trickling in after the draft. So if you imagine we're sitting up in a draft room, where I have to go back to in a minute, and we're grading players, and some of them we don't have definitive medical on. So that's a long way of saying it's hard to be confident this year on anything more than those 150 guys that were actually at the combine.
Yeah, just like I said, another kind of wrinkle in a crazy year for all of us. But just wrapping it up here with General Manager Mike Mayock. And Mike, how different is the actual draft setup going to be this year for you and Coach Gruden compared to what it was like a year ago?
Well, a year ago it was all virtual. And that was – we made it work, but it was frustrating. This year we're going to be back in a draft room for the first time in our draft room here in Las Vegas as opposed to Alameda. It's a great room. The league only allows a certain number of people in the room depending on square footage. So we're only going to have about 12 people in that room. So obviously Coach and I will be in there, and some of the scouts that man the trade phones with me. We'll have coordinators in and out and scouts in and out, our medical people in and out. But at one time, a max of 12. Back in Alameda, in a similar sized room, we'd had 20, 30, 40 people in there all the time.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, it's a funky year for all of us. I know that we're all collectively kind of doing the best we can, and it feels like we're getting closer to the end of this kind of very frustrating time, but there are still safety and health protocols that have to be at the top of mind. Well, Mike, I appreciate you. I know this is an incredibly busy time of the year for you. Good luck next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Eddie. Thank you.
And Mike is just a pro, man. I mean, I know obviously he spent those years and years on TV becoming the draft guy for NFL Network. But every time I talk to him, every time we do something on camera together, I just forget how smooth this dude is. And keep in mind, when I come in and I do these things, I got to get mentally psyched up. I got to have a good night of sleep. I got to have my pre-meal. I got to be really locked in. Mike Mayock literally just rolls down from the meeting room and dominates. That's how good he is at doing this stuff. Him and Gruden. And people always ask me, like, oh, is it... nice to work with guys that are so familiar being on camera and coach and Double M. And I say, yeah, really, all I got to do is tee them up. I just got to not screw up asking the question, and they're off to the races. So, Mike, we thank him so sincerely. Like I said, one of my favorite folks in this building, and I am very, very excited, beyond excited, I should say, for next Thursday night. So speaking of next Thursday night, it's draft time. It is almost time, and we are going to have you covered from every angle here at Raiders.com. So make sure you rock and roll with us for not only Thursday night, but through the weekend on Friday and Saturday as well, because we have a lot of really exciting, engaging things in the works we cannot wait to unveil to you. Frankly, we cannot wait to just get some new energy in this building, some new blood, some new rookies in here to mix things up, to make this team better. So hopefully by the time that we're done, we're having conversations in, I don't know, late December, early January, we are talking about postseason matchups. We are talking about this team taking a tangible step forward in 2021 and hopefully, mercifully, returning to the postseason. But step one in all of that, before training camp, before rookies arrive, it is getting through the draft. And as I said, join us on Raiders.com. Join us in the official Raiders app, beginning on Thursday and all the way through the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, because we will be rocking, we will be rolling, we will have it all coming at you. So enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And before we get out of here, so I can get a little bit of rest before the excitement of next week, two housekeeping notes. No, it's just really one housekeeping note and then some ice-cold bruchachos. So housekeeping note number one, we are going to have our quote-unquote draft story special podcast of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our friends at Coors Light, that is going to drop on Tuesday of next week. So essentially, the idea behind this, so you guys know, so you can get ready, you can make sure that you turn the notifications on, all that good stuff. We talked to a handful of players, former players, current players, all that jazz, and we talked to them about their draft story, about how they found out they were going to be drafted, about who called them, where they were, the celebration that ensued, everything. Did they think they were going to end up in silver and black? We do deep dives with a couple of these guys and really get their story. And we've got a couple of them already in the can, and they were really good. It was great to talk to some of these guys, and we hope that you guys will enjoy it as well. So that was my housekeeping note. And my ice cold bruchacha time, I'm going to crack a singular cold one, and it is the most bitter of bittersweet cold ones. I crack this ice cold bruchacha for Engineer Jim. And as you noted, you may or may not have noticed, when we opened the show, I just said Eddie Pascal here in Henderson, Nevada. And I said that because Engineer Jim is no longer with us. He's in great health, don't worry about that. He's dominating, he's living his life. But he got a new job, he's moving on to bigger and brighter things, and he now is staying in the Bay Area, dominating out there. And Jim was such an integral part to making all this happen over the past couple of years. He was kind of in that second wave, and I've told the story a million times, of how he started doing this show literally in an equipment closet, me, Marcus, and producer Trav. And we did this in an equipment closet, and then eventually after we felt we were at an okay place recording in a closet, we brought Jim in. Jim is an audio master. Jim is incredibly talented at so many things, and he helped us take our pod game to the next level, and for that I will be forever grateful for him. I will miss him. I am so excited for him and his new chapter and his next opportunity, and I know that he's going to dominate it. But it's a bittersweet one, man, because, like I said, we were very, very close. I'm going to miss him immensely, but I know that he won't be gone forever, and I know that he will remain in the mix, in the periphery, and I know that he will always have, you know, a special place here in this organization, and I know that he will always kind of chime in with his two cents of, hey, man, that was pretty cool, and I do appreciate that greatly. So this one, this ice-cold Coors Light for our buddy, Engineer Jim, long may he reign. So for Eddie Pascal, our guest this week, Mike Mayock, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, making us sound so much better than we normally do in real life, and everybody else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And remember, funky week next week in terms of the schedule, so we will be coming at you Tuesday with our draft story episode of the podcast, and then after that, I'll update you guys throughout the week, but we're looking at probably a Thursday and a Friday version of the show as well. And I'm fired up, man. I'm excited. I'm going to have a nice leisurely weekend this weekend to get my mind right, to get my spirit right, to give the voice a little time off. And we will be back in action next week, draft week, on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.